Hello, hello, hello.
Was that three hellos?
That was three hellos, because I am extra excited to welcome everyone in today to our very first episode of Section 119 Podcast. I would just like to introduce you to us real quick. My name is Jaden Johnson. You can find me on Twitter at JadenTheJedi.
I am Trevor Porath. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Porath.
And I'm Daniel Hansen. You can find me on Twitter at TheGrandDanny. Here at Section 119, we are your center for anything Aggie sports. We're going to be covering everything from football, basketball, year-round sports, Olympic sports that sometimes don't get as much attention as they deserve. But we're also going to be covering national sports, NFL, NCAA football, MLB, NBA, whatever is in season, whatever people are crazy about, we're going to talk about. But we're going to do it in short segments that you can actually handle. So expect weekly from us 30 minutes on Aggie sports and whatever else floats our goat.
Yeah, you can expect a year-round podcast about recruiting, about recent games, about whatever's going on in the Aggie universe. And then, like he said, we're going to have other segments as well, or other podcasts with specialized segments. So today I'd just like to welcome you into this Aggie Sports podcast. And we got all kinds of good stuff going on. We're going to start out with a little bit of soccer. Soccer team's been playing pretty well lately, and we'll get into that. Move on to the Utah State football team this last week losing to Boise State. I'm sure we've all got some strong feelings about that one. And we'll talk about the upcoming match that they got with Colorado State this next weekend. Might talk a little bit of Aggie basketball. I know it's coming up. There's a lot of excitement floating around campus. It could be a special year for the team. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then at the end, as always, we're going to wrap up with our Aggie calendar. Talk a little bit of volleyball and move into the Aggie calendar with what we got coming up this week. So here at Section 119, like Daniel said, we like to give a little bit of love to the unsung sports on campus, the volleyball team, the women's basketball team, any Olympic sport.
The newly founded rock climbing club.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. There's too much to cover there. But we're going to be getting interviews in here throughout the year with some of the athletes from those sports. And just today, we'd like to start with talking a little bit of women's soccer. So, Trevor, what's been going on with the team?
Well, they've been doing pretty good. They're 3-0 in the Mountain West right now, and they're 7-4 overall. This past weekend, they did beat Air Force 1-0, but they did lose to Colorado College 0-1. Unfortunately, Colorado College. Yeah.
Just a clarification, that's not Colorado State, and that's not University of Colorado.
I didn't know Colorado College is a thing, but
well, at least it didn't go on our Mountain West record that has, you know, does the standings for, you know, who goes to the tournament, right?
Yeah, you know, in soccer especially, every team is, even the best teams are bound to drop one here and there to teams that they have no business losing to.
RSL.
Lionel Messi.
Unfortunately,
with Argentina.
kind of becoming a trend for RSL, but as long as the women's soccer team doesn't make it a trend, I think that they've got a really good shot in competing in the conference this year.
I think they do, too. The weekend before that, we'd beat, you know, two sound teams, Colorado State 3-1 and Wyoming 3-0, so I think they have the ability to score.
Oh, plus, yeah. I think women's soccer, you only play each opponent in your conference one time. So, I mean, being 3-0, they're about like a third of the way through the conference, I think, unbeaten, which it's a pretty good start to the season.
I think you may play 1-1.
1-1, you do?
I mean, no matter how you look at it, you can't start the conference play any better than 3-0. So big, big ups to the soccer team. That's awesome. They're fun to watch. They're fun to cheer for. Anything Aggie sports is great. So got to give props to them. But now to the thing that's been on everyone's mind, the heart. I don't know if I should say heartbreaking. I don't think it was heartbreaking, but the disappointing.
Underwhelming.
The underwhelming loss to Boise State last weekend. You got some general thoughts on that thing, Daniel?
underwhelming. That's pretty much all I can say about the season so far. I mean, we had some hype coming into the season, and now we're 2-3. We're 0-2 in conference play after that loss. I mean, we all know the potential that's on this team, but they just have not been able to get to that, play to that level, and it's really just kind of disappointing to see that.
And it's kind of disappointing when you see the defense play with their whole hearts all out, and you know they're stopping on the run on even great team running teams like Air Force, and then the offense just can't do anything, and they go 3-and-out, and that defense has to come right back on, and they're doing great all throughout the game, and then finally the fourth quarter they just get gassed out.
I think you can't say enough about the defense's performance in that game against a high-powered offense, a good strong team like Boise. I mean, given Boise didn't do their best performance ever, but you can't give enough credit to the defense for that.
Yeah, part of that's because of the defense playing out of their minds.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you think exactly. It was like 21 points they gave up all game, and 7 of those came on a, frankly, kind of cheap trick play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good performance.
Gave up two big plays. I mean, that was it. But so
the way I see it, though, is like if the offense was out and could take a little bit more time, the defense could do a lot better because they wouldn't be out there wasting their gas on because the offense keeps going 1-and-out, and or 3-and-out.
And a defense better than what we saw last week is a scary defense.
Well, I think it's Colorado State this upcoming week. Like some of their coaches are saying, like, it's scary to watch the footage of the Aggie defense right now and think, like, how is Colorado State's offense gonna play against that? And we're going to talk about that in a little bit with Colorado State, but that just shows how well this defense has played, not just in Boise State, but throughout the year. And it's just kind of disappointing with that defense playing that level that we're still just 2-3.
Mike Bobo's having nightmares. So looking at the loss to Boise, as much as it kind of stings to talk about, because I feel like it was a very winnable game with the performance that Boise put up and with how much a defense held him in check. We were a couple touchdowns away from winning. I think it was very winnable. Position group, coaching group, whatever, who do you think is the most to blame for that loss?
I kind of think, well, there's two places I'd put a lot of the blame, and that's offensive line and the play calling. I would place most of the blame with the play calling, to be honest. And a lot of people kind of think like, well, yeah, the players execute the plays and we're not executing. But part of it is also the coaching staff knows the team. They know what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. They should be calling plays. They should be putting together a game plan that plays to our strengths and like minimizes our weaknesses. And I just don't really see that, especially in the Boise State game. Like, our offensive line really struggled, but we didn't really see an adjustment from the coaching staff to kind of balance that out.
I think that the biggest thing holding us back in the game was our offensive line. No coaching. I agree that, I mean, everyone knows that I'm a critic of Matt Wells. I think he's a good coach, but I also think that he should pass off the play calling to someone else. Maybe not his brother, but to somebody else. I'm definitely not the kind of support everything that he does, no matter what, kind of guy. If he does a stupid play call, I'm going to criticize it. But I think that a lot of his play calls just looked bad because the offensive line was so pitiful. Every single time that Kent Myers got the ball, even if he was in shotgun, he'd have guys in his face immediately. And I've seen some people putting blame on Kent Myers. I think it's unnecessary. You look at his numbers. He had 287 yards. He completed 29 of 50, which isn't great, but it's not, you know, the quarterback lost us the game kind of numbers. He did throw an interception. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he didn't. He had a touchdown, no interceptions. So, I mean, I can't put too much blame on Kent Myers when every time he gets the ball, he's got huge Boise State guys in his face.
And I get what you're saying there, but I also just think sometimes our play calling, it maximizes our offensive line. Like, so many of our passes are just, one, either they're drop-back passes where we give the defense plenty of time to just go right after us. We don't really do much to stop that. Or it's a swing pass where the speed of the defense just takes it to, like, a usually a negative yard play. And I just think I'd like to see something different. I don't know exactly what that might be, just more slants, more things over the middle, use White Houston more. But I think if we change the play calling, I think that would help a lot of the problems we have.
Personally, how Kent Myers is kind of a shorter quarterback, I think would work better for our pass plays is more of a bootleg rollout. Torrey's not sitting behind the offensive line and can't really see totally. And then all of a sudden he's sitting there for 2 to 3 seconds and the offensive line has their guys come through and he's sacked. So if he could like do more rollouts to where he can actually see, I think he would do a lot better.
The one negative that I will attribute to Kent Myers in that game, and not just that game, I mean in the past, it seems like this year he's so scared to hold on to the ball. Whenever he has an option, he tosses it as quick as possible. And I think a lot of the times, I mean, the defense catches onto that just like that. If he'd hold onto the ball and run it up the middle or you know, take off wherever he's supposed to go, I think we'd have a lot more success in the running game because we'd have, you know, the dual threat.
Let's look what happened the past two seasons. He's been number three starting, you know, number three on the quarterback depth chart, but then he ended up starting because the two people ahead of him got hurt.
Yeah, part of it could be the coaching staff saying, give that ball up.
You know, so, you know, he doesn't want to get hurt himself because he wants to play because he's seen the past two seasons where the number one and two have gotten hurt. Or, like Daniel just said, it's a coach to say, hey, we don't want you hurt. Get rid of it.
I get that. And I think that that's very likely the case. You know, but I'd rather play with a quarterback who is playing to his full ability and has the possibility of getting hurt than be worried about it all season long and have him playing to 80% of his ability. I'm not a professional play caller. I've never been a coach. I've never even coached a peewee team or anything like that, and I'm not going to pretend like I have.
I've coached on Madden.
Yeah, I play Madden, so I know exactly what I'm talking about.
But I'm pretty good at Madden. Unless I go up against those online guys. You never play Madden online. They wipe me clean. I could beat the computer on all Madden, but you go up against the computer and I'm done.
Yeah, there's people paid. They get paid to play it like that.
You serious?
All day. They just get paid to play it all day.
It's a good job.
That's why I never judge how good I am at video games like Call of Duty or Madden by online play, because you just have people that play it 20 hours a day.
No, I mean, I felt like I was getting pretty good for a while, and then I went and played online, and I had like 3 picks in the first quarter, and I just got slaughtered. Anyway, that's aside from the point. I'm not a professional play caller, but I like to pretend like I am. So I'll say this. I think that if nothing else, the offense has become very, very, very predictable. We had 3 or 4 almost identical series in like the third and fourth quarters where we started out with a run. We always start first down with a run. Always, always with a run. Usually up the middle. And so the defense catches on to that pretty quickly. And then we'd get a large pass play, get us 30, 40, 50 yards, hurry up offense, get up to the line, which I can't figure out why we do that, because every time we do it, then we get a false start. So then it's first and 15. We're in enemy territory, but it's first and 15. Do 2 run plays, usually the first one right up the middle, and then, you know, try and get that 13, 14, 15 yards on third down, which resulted in a couple of sacks last week.
But when we do that hurry up offense to the line and do a quick play, I'm not necessarily doing that on the coaches and play calling. I think that's more on Kent Myers trying to hurry things up too much. He needs to sit and wait. He needs to let those bigger, you know, slower offensive linemen get down and get set before he actually, you know, he needs to take it. Look, okay, they've all been set for a second. Okay, I can go now.
Well, and it was a few different players, which I mean shows it is a lack of communication. Because I mean, also Rashad Lewis had one. I believe Tarver had one as well. I could be wrong on that, but I know at least, you know, Rashad Lewis had one.
And that's a big sign of miscommunication where it's the receivers who get the false start because their job is just pretty much watch the ball and then run when it's hiked.
I just think when you're playing in the road in a hostile environment like Boise, like just huddle up. The advantage of hurry up, but just huddle if you need to.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason I place a lot of this stuff on like the coaching staff is one, like it's all right to just run the ball all the time on first down if you execute. If you're able to get a good push on the offensive line and you're able to get your running back like 3 or 4 yards before he's even touched, that's a good play call. That's not the kind of team we are right now. We don't have the offensive line to do that. We don't have the running backs to be able to just pound it down all the time. We have a bunch of speed guys. I think the coaching staff sometimes struggles to see that and be like, okay, maybe we should do like a play action pass on first down, do a rollout or something. Do something and get the defense off guard, because we are predictable. We always have either just it's a swing pass or a draw or an option where Ken Myers doesn't hold on to the ball.
A bubble screen to a 7-foot player.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thrown way over the head. I mean, okay, so to me, the best half, the best bit of football that we've played this whole year was the first half against Arkansas State. I mean, you guys agree on that?
I would agree.
I'd say that, or some of the times against Weber State, but
yeah, okay, sure, that's fair. But I went back and I watched that first half again just last week, because I was kind of trying to think, you know, what did the team do so much differently during that first half, aside from playing a Sun Belt caliber team, that made it click so well? And there were so many different offensive plays that they ran. They had slants all the time, where you'd put Kent Myers in the shotgun and have him just wing it down the middle to Tarver or to Wyatt Houston. They had runs that were going every which way. They had option runs. They had options that went for a pass. I mean, it was very, very impressive and very unpredictable. And so I just don't get why. I mean, I get you're playing in a hostile environment in Boise, but why you got to go so conservative?
Yeah, I mean, you look at even like the Air Force game too. Like the entire game, Tarver was just unstoppable on slants pretty much. I mean, he had got over 100 yards receiving, and a lot of it was on that play late in the game.
Sure.
But a lot of it was just like on a slant, get 10 yards. Almost all the time it'd be either second and short or first down whenever we did that. But so oftentimes we just go away from that to stuff that's just not working as well. I just do not get that.
So if you could change... And I feel like this is a similar question to the previous question, but if you could change just one thing about this team, realistic or unrealistic, we'll say somewhat realistic, what would you change about it?
Personally, me, I would go from a, you know, more of a running team to more of a balanced team, because, you know, like with Mays in there, okay, we can be a running team. With Devontae Mays out, not so much. I think we should try a little more passing.
Yeah, I would say, and shocker, for the past 5 minutes that I've been speaking, I would change the play calling. I mean, spice it up a little bit. Take Boise State's playbook and run a trick play every now and then. I mean, we've seen it work. Why not just stick to not just doing a halfback draw and a swing pass?
I would add the Oakland Raiders offensive line. Is that realistic?
Well, Donald Penn is from here, so
I don't know if they have any eligibility left, but I don't attribute it all to the offensive line. But man, if we could get some big old brutes up there that could protect the quarterback, it would give us so many more options with what we could do.
I think the sad thing is, though, that I kind of see with this is you change the offensive line, or you change the play calling, or you make it so we're more of a pass-first team. I think if you do any one of those things, we're 4-1 right now. I think if we had done just one of those things, let alone two or all three, I think we beat Air Force. I think we beat Boise State, because Boise was not playing that well last night or this last weekend. And that's what frustrates me with this team, is we have the potential to be 4-1, be that really good team, but we hold ourselves back. We beat ourselves.
Which is why I, and I think many Aggie fans, feel somewhat optimistic about this team going forward, because, you know, we hung in there. I mean, it was ugly, but we did hang in there on the road against the Boise team that in the past, I mean, aside from last year, has just destroyed us. We were a couple of questionable, I guess you could say, calls away from being, I mean, even more than in there, probably beating Air Force. Of course, we are a long ways from USC, but it is very close to a team that could be 4-1 with just small adjustments. And so going forward, I feel pretty confident, you know, that the coaching staff is going to figure it out. Matt Wells is a good coach. Yeah. I really believe he is. He takes a lot of heat, but I think he's a good coach. And they're going to learn from this.
Yeah, I think he's a good coach too. And if you're a little unsure about that from what I've been saying, I do like Matt Wells. I mean, we've gone to like 5 straight bowls. A lot of it is because of the job he's been doing with these players. And I also kind of go into your point on being optimistic for the rest of the season as well, because we do have Matt Wells as a coach, so he's still going to be giving us a good chance to win each game. But you also look at our schedule, our toughest game left over is now a home game against San Diego State. We've already played probably the 2 best teams in the conference, and now we have,
well,
like 7 games.
San Diego State.
You could argue that Air Force might be better than San Diego State. I mean, Air Force hasn't lost to South Alabama twice in a row.
I disagree, but I mean,
of course. There's an argument there, yeah. At least. But you look now, I mean, the rest of our schedule, we have like Wyoming, Nevada, like San Jose State. I mean, I think
it gets easier.
I'm not
from
too
here.
Worried about missing a bowl. Let's say that.
It gets easier from here. So looking at Colorado State this weekend, I'll be honest, I haven't watched a ton of Colorado State this year. I did watch them get mauled by Colorado in the first game, in a game which I thought they had a very good shot to win. Then they went in and lose 44-7. I caught a little bit last week as they got mauled by Wyoming. And, I mean, you lose to Wyoming by 3 touchdowns. That's not a good sign for your program.
And that was at Colorado State, too.
So I mean, just to run through their schedule, they had that loss against Colorado. They beat UTSA at home by 9 points. UTSA is not a terrible team. They beat Northern Colorado at home by a couple of touchdowns. And then they lost on the road to Minnesota by a touchdown, and they lost to Wyoming last week. So, I mean, there's nothing about this Colorado State team that just screams scary. You know, it doesn't seem like a team that we should be super – I mean, the Aggies should be worried about any team at this point. But they don't have anything about them that is just really scary to me. You agree?
I completely agree with that. I think that's going to be true of a lot of our games now.
But there's nothing that really screams, you know, walk all over either.
No. I mean, and okay, so I'll give it to them. They got killed by Colorado, but Colorado's a much better team this year than we've seen in the past. So.
And who would have thought that?
And that was week one. You know, weird things happen week one. They lost to Wyoming, and that's not too excusable. But, I mean, they hung in there at Minnesota, who, although the bottom of the Big Ten, they are a somewhat of a quality team, and it's never easy to win a Power 5 game on the road, as the Aggies know.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a tough game because every game is tough, but if I'm looking at the schedule, the only games I'm really worried about us losing, like, that I would say, yeah, I think we'll lose that game, is San Diego State and maybe at BYU. Those are the only 2 games that really scare me left on the schedule. I think playing at Nevada, not a problem. I think we play at Wyoming, not a problem. We play, well, Colorado State here. We got Fresno State. Most of these games, I feel like we're obviously the better team. We have this amazing defense that's really outplayed of our expectations. Our offense has kind of struggled, but when you look at it, when we play those kind of lesser teams like Weber State, Arkansas State, the offense has done all right, and I think we'll kind of that'll carry us through those games.
Yeah. Again, I don't know a ton about Colorado State, but just looking at it, they're averaging 179 rushing yards a game, which I think that we'll be able to handle that pretty well. We got a very solid run defense, and I think we hold them down closer to 100. They get about 215 passing yards a game, so they are slightly more of a passing team than a running team, which is different than many of the teams we've seen so far. And the secondary is going to have to show up, that's for sure. But, you know, 215 passing yards a game, that's nothing to worry about, in my opinion.
The one thing I've seen with the Colorado State game, at least, that gives me a lot of hope, is I looked at just, like, the team stats real quick. Our offenses are pretty similar. I mean, it's actually pretty little uncanny how similar our yardage totals are there. Defensively, though, Colorado State's not been good. I mean, you look at their schedule, we just went over it. There's not a ton of really good teams on there. yet they've given up, I think it's like 70 or 80 yards more than us per game. They've given up 40 more, I think, through the air and like 30 more on the ground. So looking at that, I think that bodes really, really well for us because we've got a decent defense. We hold people to like, I think it was like 347 yards per game. They're over 400. So I'm looking at this. I see us being really good on defense, holding them, and then our offense not having a breakout game, but doing just enough to make it so that we have a comfortable win, I think.
Okay, so just around the table, what record do you see the Aggies finishing with?
I would say probably 5-3. I mean, we're 0-2 right now, so that means we finish out 5-1 before the BYU game.
Overall record, let's say.
Record, okay. Yeah. So 5-3 in conference. Overall, that would put us then
right now
at
we're 7-5.
Right, so 7-5. 7-5?
I think that, yeah. What do you think, Trevor?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking, you know, the BYU game is kind of hard to – we're both, you know, because we're both having down years. And
it's a ways down the road.
That in-state thing that you can never know. You never know on those games. It's just, you know, especially if Tanner Mangum comes in, I don't think Utah State will win. If Taysom Hill stays in, I think we have a better shot. So let's just hope Taysom Hill doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, that's not a thing you really – should bet for.
Looking at the schedule, so, I mean, being 2-3 right now, I think that the remaining losses that we have are, I think we're going to lose versus San Diego State. I know it's at home, and I know San Diego State just lost to South Alabama, and that's embarrassing, but I'm sorry, I think that we lose to them, especially after seeing what they did to us last year. And then I think that we lose one of... either at BYU or at Nevada the last 2 weeks of the year. I mean, Nevada's done nothing special, and BYU is obviously not living up to the hype, but I think that we lose one of those two. The team will be pretty worn out, especially the defense will be worn out by then. And I'm going to go with that, 7-5. I think that's a good season.
Yeah, 7-5, I'd be all over that before a bowl game even.
For a rebuilding year... that's better than the season they had last year, which they had no excuse to not have a winning record last year.
Lost two games by a missed field goal.
Yeah. So I would take that. I would take 7-5. I mean, if you told me that before the season, I'd probably have said I'll take it. And
when you think about it, we're probably going to be either like Potato Bowl or like New Mexico Bowl playing a Conference USA opponent or something like that.
There's a really good chance. Potato Bowl.
Well, let's face it, that's probably where we're going to be. But... that means we got a really good shot to go 8-5 this season. I would take that in a heartbeat, especially since we're 2-3 right now. You say 8-5, I am all for that.
Plus, then you get to go up to Boise and you get a delicious potato bar at the Taco Bell Arena before the game.
I'm still hoping for Arizona Bowl. I'd be more fine with that.
They don't have a potato bar there.
Yeah, but it's not Boise. And I don't have to look at a freaking hideous blue field for 60 minutes of a game.
I'd rather go to New Mexico over Potato Bowl, too.
Okay, if I had the money, I'd want to go to the Hawaii Bowl. But I don't have the money, so anything
Christmas
else.
Eve, though. That's the worst case scenario for me. Yeah.
But it's in Hawaii.
I guess. I know I'm not going, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so shifting the focus from Utah State football. I mean, I know it's a hot topic, and there's plenty to talk about here. The basketball team has just started their camps this last week. They're full swing into practice. I haven't heard a ton out of camp yet. I don't even know if they're open to the media at this point, but I'm pretty excited for this team, and I think that there is a lot of excitement going around. And understandably so. Well, I mean, it's weird because you wouldn't think that a team that's only returning four players total – you wouldn't think that a team in that situation would have any hype going for it. But I think that just the recruiting class that they've got coming in and some of the players, especially Kobe McEwen and
Sam Merrill. We have to give props to Tim Duryea. Like, everyone was so worried about Stu Moore leaving. Tim Duryea looks like a master recruiter, right?
Yeah.
You look at this class he's brought in. Like, you mentioned Kobe, Claybo. You got Darren Henson. You got several quality junior college players coming in. Like... Yeah, we only have four returners, but there's several guys that have those that junior college experience. Kobe's going to contribute immediately as a freshman. We already know
bringing
that.
In Norbert Janicek from Snow. I mean,
like,
I think that the jury's still out on his coaching ability because last year, I mean, he did get a lot of criticism, and who knows if that was because of the squad or if it was because of him.
Well, even then, you look at it, the squad was like picked to like finish like third to last in the West or something like that after we lost Collette, and we finished pretty respectable, won a game in the conference tournament, gave San Diego State a pretty good ride too in the second round. So
I think the jury's still out on his coaching ability. I mean, people are on both sides of that, but you cannot hate on what he's done in recruiting, and I'm excited to see how that plays out.
Plus, it's not a coincidence that Kobe Bryant retired. And now Kobe McEwen is starting his collegiate career. Just pointing that out.
Right.
Except Kobe Bryant didn't ever have a collegiate career.
Well, you're splitting hairs there. Okay.
Hey, we.
Bottom line, he's the next Kobe. So
we can't talk about Kobe Bryant anymore after what he did to the Jazz.
Okay, let's be honest. That was like a really fun game, just because he's just this old fart. Scoring 60 points.
No, by the end, I was cheering for him.
Yeah, I mean, you had like Spike Lee and all these celebrities in the crowd just like going nuts for this old geezer just putting like 60 points in a pick.
Like Uncle Drew, man. Like Uncle Drew in real life.
Like, I would rewatch that game just because it was so fun.
The Jazz were trying to lose so they can maybe get the 11th out of the lottery, but it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good trend.
Yeah, they were out of the play. I don't think it would have. Anyway, we're getting way off on a tangent. Trevor, what are you most excited for about this Aggie basketball team?
I'm excited to see all the new players and see what they contribute, because it is going to be, you know, because you know for sure one new guy is going to start, mm-hmm. you know, because four return, you start five, one's got to start. One new guy's got to start.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally most places they have like an 8-man rotation. And so at least there's going to be four new players contributing big minutes to that. That's even if we get down to an 8-man rotation at all. I think with the beginning of the season, we'll probably like maybe have like a 9-10 man rotation until he finally gets it, hopefully by conference play, down to that 8-man rotation.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, you know, for me, though, to me to be happy for this season is that since the Mountain West just did this, you know, top 8 only go to the conference tournament instead of everybody, if we make the conference tournament with only having 4 guys returning, I'll be happy.
I could probably agree with that. I'm kind of going on that kind of same line of what Trevor's excited for. We have 4 guys returning and this plethora of new talent. I'm excited to actually see Tim Durie show how well he can coach, because there's a lot of versatility now on this roster, and that's something we haven't had at Utah State that often. Usually we have these guys that can only fit like kind of one area. Usually our front court is really good and our backcourt kind of lacks. But now we've got Jalen Moore, who's going to be a terrific wing player. He might have a chance at first team in the Mountain West. Then you've got, of course, Kobe coming back. We got Shane Rector. We got front court with Darren Henson. What's that guy from Snow College?
Norbert Janicek.
We got a lot of these players that have potential. Igor Barnaba, I think I'm probably butchering his name. You've got all these pieces now that Durie has to work with. I'm interested to see what lineups he does come up with. Who is that 8-man rotation? Who does he play? Who's his spark off the bench? That's going to be really interesting to see. Like, how does he kind of manage his team? Like, one thing I really want to see, Kobe McEwen and Jalen Moore in a pick and roll.
Mm.
How does a defense stop that? Because we've seen Kobe already, highlights and stuff. He's explosive. He's got a decent shot. He can finish around the rim, and so can Jalen. So if you have those two in a, like a pick and roll game, that could be the start of a really good offense.
I am so excited about this backcourt. I mean, I'm excited about the front court too. And like you said, I think it's gonna be a very well rounded team. I'm just excited because I'm a huge Shane Rector fan. I think I just love watching the guy play. He's got to clean it up a little bit, get a few less turnovers this year, clean up his dribble a little bit. But man, he is fun to watch. And I don't know exactly what the point guard rotation is going to be like, because he did a lot of playing the point for the team last year. And this year you got Kobe McEwen coming in, who, whether he starts or not, he's going to get a significant amount of time. And I think that he is going to be starting. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him at the one and see Shane Rector at the two. I don't have any inside knowledge or anything, but you know, we'll see how that goes. But those are just two very, very fun to watch, very explosive guys. And then, you know, you throw in some guys like Julian Perry, and it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be, I mean, regardless of what happens, I think it's going to be a fun team to watch. And they've got a very high ceiling. There's a lot of ifs and buts, and I mean, so many new players coming in that got to learn the system, and it's all going to depend on how they click. But man, there could be some serious. I mean, I think that this is a team, and I'm not going to put money on it or anything, but I think this is a team that has a real potential to reach the NCAA tournament this year, which is, I mean, just unheard of for a team that is only returning four players.
I completely agree with you there. I mean, one thing that has to happen, I mean, the team has to gel. We've got a bunch of new guys. They have to gel. They have to develop chemistry. They have to learn how to play the college game. But, like, ceiling for this team, like, could actually be pretty high. There's a lot of good recruits. There's a lot of people with a lot of potential. If we're able to put it together, I could see us making a good run in the conference tournament and winning the conference championship. I mean, we showed last year that we were already able to play with, like, San Diego State and some of the other upper guys in the conference. If we get more athleticism and some better players, I don't see any reason why we can't actually beat them.
Plus, I will add, and maybe I should knock on wood, say my prayers, whatever, but I don't think we're going to be losing a major part of our team 2 days before the season starts this year.
Don't leave us, Jalen. Please don't leave us.
I'm talking to you, Coach K from Utah. Don't mess with me.
Dude, do not bring up the devil in conversation.
Anyways, we're going to have
He did not recruit anybody. Coach K did not recruit anybody.
No, of course not. Ask David Collette's brother. Anyway, we're going to have so much more Aggie basketball down the road. I mean, we're just barely getting started with camp, and there's so much good stuff coming up for the team, and we'll be talking about them a ton down the road. But right now, we're coming up towards the end of the podcast. We should probably hop into the Aggie calendar for stuff that we got coming up this week. Every week, we like to just go and talk about the events that we've got at home, maybe some notable road events throughout all of the squads that the university has.
And if you're skeptic, all of these games are fun to go. If you go watch a women's soccer game or men's tennis or something, that anything that's going on here at Utah State, you're going to have a good time.
It's better than sitting at home doing homework. Forget homework. Anyway, so the women's volleyball team, They kind of had a rough last week. They played a couple of games at home and lost them both 3-0. But, you know, they were hanging in there in both of them. They won't be at home until next week. So this week they're out on the road. They're playing on Thursday night at Air Force. And they are playing on Saturday night at Boise State. All of their matches, though, if you follow them on Twitter or Instagram or anything, they post live streams to the Mountain West Network, and you can watch all of those, even the away ones. So I love watching volleyball, and they are a fun team to watch. They've made incredible improvements from last year, so I would highly recommend checking those out.
And it highly beats just binge-watching something on Netflix.
Depending on the show.
Okay, depending on the show, yes. But if you're finished with Stranger Things, you've already watched How I Met Your Mother 3 times over.
Me.
Go live stream the volleyball team. It's fun.
So, what else we got going on this week?
Well, you got the cross country team at home. I mean, they got the Steve T. Reeder Memorial. It looks like it's on Friday. So,
how do you watch a cross country match?
Well, we saw the other day. You can go up to the press box at Maverick Stadium, and you can see the whole track stadium over there. So, I mean,
I guess you could rent a blimp or something.
Yeah, rent a blimp. A hot air balloon.
A drone.
You just run alongside them.
I'm good. I'm definitely good.
Anything else going on?
We do got two soccer games, one on Friday at 4 and then Sunday at 1.
Got some softball, looks like it's going on, which I was not even aware that they played this early. But
I thought they started in like February or like something.
These are just exposition games, I believe. You know, just kind of like a you know, okay, like they're like they don't have like a spring game, like a football has a spring game. Well, it's kind of like their spring games against other schools.
And they are playing USU Eastern, so I mean, it's definitely not a fierce rivalry. I mean, it's pretty much us.
The battle of the sisters. I was going to say brothers, but sisters. Softball. I think that pretty much concludes it. I of course, the football team's on the road at Colorado State. Am I missing anything here?
Two quick things. We'll shout out men's tennis has the Boise Fall invite that's going through the weekend. And next week, this looks actually kind of legit. Men's golf is at the Notre Dame Invitational. So I don't know if that's like prestigious or not, but I mean, Notre Dame like sounds like really cool for an invitational tournament. So I'm
gonna fly out there.
There's men's golf.
Yeah. So anyway, Aggie sports are great. It's always good to watch Aggie sports, whatever it is. I just encourage anybody to check those out. But I think our time is winding up here. And so we are going to check out. And feel free to check out our other episodes. We're going to have this week, we're going to have a national football where we talk about NFL. We talk about college football. And we're even going to have a short little podcast about baseball and what's going on with the playoff situation there.
It's going nuts right now.
It's going nuts. So anyway, thank you for tuning in. We hope to have you back. You can follow us on Podbean. I think these things are going to be up on iTunes here real soon.
Section 119.
Again, thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day or evening or afternoon or morning or whenever the time of the day that you are listening to this is, because that's a great thing about podcasts. Bye.
Bye.